aiwa vateereri tabva tasvika kumagumo echirongwa chedu tokusiyai mina Gibbs Dube.
Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, December 20th, 2014. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Former Finance Minister Tendai Biti says foreign investors are willing to open businesses in Zimbabwe if the political situation improves.
Zimbabwe has fallen off the radar completely. People have written us off as a basket case, and there's hardly any interest at all in Zimbabwe. I think people are just tired of our noise and our conflict, stolen elections.
And analysts say Zimbabwe's citizens suffered under the silence of the media and opposition political parties who failed to address critical issues as ZANU-PF feuded over positions.
It is actually discouraging to say that even civil society itself, the media, have actually sort of abrogated their duty as watchdogs of society.
Former Finance Minister Tendai Biti says foreign investors are willing to open businesses in Zimbabwe if the political situation improves. Biti, who is currently in Washington, D.C. as a visiting fellow at the Center for Global Development, says investors are watching the unfolding political drama in the country, where a ZANU-PF faction allegedly led by new Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa is now in charge of the ruling party. He speaks to Studio 7's Blessing Zulu about his visit to America and discussions with potential investors.
It's really a global experience, and I'm very thankful to God that I'm in a position to work with the real, real serious international policy policy people. You know, I've met so many big names in developmental economics. So that should help me as an individual. But of course, since I'm in Zimbabwe and we'll be going back home, I think it will help the work I do at home in my various lives.
Talking about Zimbabwe, what are investors that you are meeting or any officials that you are meeting saying about, say, doing business with Zimbabwe?
I had a group of investors yesterday, and I was actually urging them to put their money back home, but with subject to certain caveats, one of them being that investment in Africa is always long-term. But the bottom line is that Zimbabwe has fallen off the radar completely. People have written us off as a basket case, and there's hardly any interest at all in Zimbabwe. I think people are just tired of our noise and our conflict, stolen elections, violence, predatory politics, and politics of exclusion. This is a far cry from 2 years, 3 years ago, when I used to come to this capital in my capacity as finance minister.
That was former Finance Minister Tendai Biti speaking with Studio 7 from Washington, D.C. As the economy struggles, Tobacco Marketing Board Chief Executive Andrew Matibili tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu, Zimbabwe is facing critical shortages of tobacco transplants ahead of the forthcoming crop season.
At the moment, farmers are busy transplanting their tobacco, the dryland crop, that is. Unfortunately, they are facing major challenges with finding tobacco seedlings because, as you are aware, the rain started late. It was only the day before yesterday that the country really received countrywide rains, which were enough to transplant the tobacco. But nonetheless, farmers are planting tobacco, and we think they will be able to put in the hectares that they need.
What is your advice to farmers who might be growing tobacco for the first time this year?
Farmers must aim for quality and high potential in their crops. In other words, they must apply fertilizers at recommended rates and follow all agronomic practices that are required for tobacco, especially issues like weeding, topping, and ripping and curing, to ensure that they produce top-quality tobacco, which is desired by our markets.
That was Tobacco Marketing Board Chief Executive Andrew Matibiri speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. The tension within ZANU-PF ahead of its Congress has been characterized by many as the worst the ruling party has experienced. However, despite the uncertainty that ensued due to the removal of elected mayors and parliamentarians, many noted the absence of the voices of opposition political parties and civil society. Studio 7's Ndimyake Makalele sought perspectives from media and gender consultant Simbiso Marimbe and political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda.
The whole crisis in ZANU-PF was a crisis of personalities, and this problem obtains both in the civic society in the country and in the opposition as well. So I think that, in my view, I don't expect that we'll develop your thoughts about how we run our society post the ZANU-PF Congress.
Mrs. Marimbe, do you agree?
Yes, I do. I think this came at a time when opposition forces were decimated soon after the July 31 elections. And they were sort of busy with cleaning up their own houses, splitting, splinter groups and stuff. So there was no focus really, and there was a lot of uncertainty, and there was no clear policy direction. So it was all like a focus on power rather than moving Zimbabwe forward.
In my observation, what seemed to really become evident at that time was that the only option seems to be ZANU-PF. Is that what people have now settled for, Mr. Sibanda?
I think that that's a good observation, in my view, the fact that actually ZANU-PF is, with or without the current opposition, still considered or still has to play a very important role in Zimbabwean politics. But I think that doing justice to that question means that we have to look at both sides. And this is very important because we usually don't do this. The fact of the matter is that the nature of the crisis ZANU-PF had and the height to which it went, which was very high, was partly a result of a weak opposition. So the state of our opposition created the ZANU-PF crisis in a way. I don't think that Mugabe or the members of ZANU-PF themselves that were feuding or that are feuding would have had as much of a serious feud had they felt that there was a serious existential threat in the form of a committed and capable opposition, but also very incapable of reacting to what happened in ZANU-PF.
Ms. Marimbe, being in the media, is there some activity that is just not being registered, or is it the reality that the opposition is so weak and civil society too that they just don't see how they can capitalize on the vacuum right now?
I think what we are missing in this whole discourse is the voice of the ordinary citizen. Actually, speaking to just ordinary people, family members and other people, there's just this sense of disillusionment, disenfranchisement, disempowerment. And I think the fear is coming back to the people of Zimbabwe. There's always been this fear of political violence. It has been haunting the ordinary citizen, and they are discouraged because nobody seems to care about their basic survival issues. So everybody is just busy trying to survive, and that voice is just quiet. And the media also has been checked along the political lines, and they've been amplifying dominant political voices. Business itself has been trying to call out for help because, you know, as you can see in our business sector, over 5,000 companies closed, and they've been trying to say, please, 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 there's a crisis. But nobody seems to care. Those who are in control of power are busy with power issues. So I think the voice that is missing is the ordinary people's voice.
Staying with you, Ms. Marimbe, on the issue of silence and the issue of fear and the issue of no direction, there was a time when the civil society seemed to have been really vocal, really loud. Where is NANGO? Where is Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition? Who is giving anyone any kind of platform to be able to express themselves at this point?
It is actually discouraging to say that even civil society itself, the media, have actually sort of abrogated their duty as watchdogs of society. And I think after the July 2013 elections, it seems like there's actually a scourge of power issues running through society, including civil society itself. Crisis Coalition has got its own issues at the moment. NANGO is just lying low. And we haven't really had strong voices speaking on behalf of the citizen or giving a platform to citizens. The media, like I said, I think they hold the power to give a voice to the majority of the Zimbabweans, but I think they have chosen to silence them and just to give a few elitist voices space. So that has been the tragedy in Zimbabwe.
Simbiso Marimbe is a media and gender consultant currently working with the Federation of African Media Women Zimbabwe. Earlier you heard from independent political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda, a lecturer at Huddersfield University in the United Kingdom. Both spoke with Studio 7's Ndimiyake Makelele. Tune in tomorrow for their views on what needs to happen for the country to move forward. It's Christmas time once again. Let us hear what some Zimbabweans are saying about the festive season.
My name is Ndumiso Emmanuel Kumede. I'm the chief executive of the oldest team in Zimbabwe called Highlanders Football Club. I take this moment to wish all the listeners of the Voice of America Studio 7 a very, very peaceful festive season. We know that our fans and supporters were not happy with the position that we finally got at position 5. But we promise you that next year will be a different year. So, supporters of Islanders, Islanders!
My name is Rudare Gumbo, and I wish you Merry Christmas and a prosperous 2015. We are facing challenges as Zimbabweans, but let us try by all means to make this Christmas a peaceful one. We hope certainly 2015 will bring us prosperity and change in the situation of the country.
My name is Edward Manning. I'm the president of Zichia, which is the informal sector. I'm the president of Matabeleland Region, the first vice president. I wish the world, America, Zimbabwe, Africa, the Africa I love, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to everyone. And God bless them. Thank you.
I'm Councillor Colette Ndlovu from Ward 28, Bulawayo. Merry Christmas to every Zimbabwean and residents of County Park, including my family and friends. I wish them a Merry Christmas. What I can do is to advise the drivers not to drink and drive during the holidays because it's dangerous.
Now is time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women, hosted by Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Today we are going to be looking at some of the initiatives that have been taken by women rights activists throughout the country to show their outrage at the recent stripping of a woman at a taxi rank in Harare, which was filmed and circulated on social media. Yesterday, the Women's Coalition of Zimbabwe met in Harare and had a press conference to look at some of the ways to reduce the harassment of women. We have the pleasure of speaking to one of the participants at the press conference, Ms. Tariro Makanga, the spokeswoman of SAFAIDS. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Ms. Makanga.
Thank you so much.
Take us through some of the initiatives that are being taken by women's organizations.
Yesterday, we actually saw women's organizations organized by the Women's Coalition coming together and really saying, as women, let's meet. We had messages of support, we had solidarity messages from different organizations. We even had organizations like Padare Men's Forum, which represents men, also coming in and castigating the abuse that women in Zimbabwe are facing. And at that meeting, the message was quite clear. Women were saying enough is enough. we had one time where women were being stripped. There was a miniskirt march that was organized on Orange Day. They even went to those bus terminuses, working with even the Ministry of Women's Affairs and women's organizations to conscientize those touts in terms of the importance of valuing a woman. But we are seeing that those efforts have not yielded much. We read in the newspapers where the police were saying, now we are swooping in. We want the woman who was abused to come forward to the police. We are also going to say, with our law enforcement agents, we want to work with them so that we ensure that these perpetrators are brought to book. So now we have said this is now time for us to take action, and definitely Zimbabwe is going to see us taking action. We are still angry as women. This is something that is not acceptable, and we cannot just let it lie low.
What action can just an ordinary woman out there take to stop this harassment of women that we have seen escalating throughout this year?
We live in a very patriarchal society, and most of the time, if a woman is just whistled at, what usually happens is we tend to withdraw. And what we are telling women is to say, if it's at the bus rank and we see one of us being abused, let's go and even confront those guys. Let's engage in dialogue. We had one person who was actually giving a testimony yesterday saying she experienced the same thing as she was coming out of a salon. But the fact that she stood up to the guys when they started whistling at her, calling her, hey, Sissy Dread, hey, what you are wearing? You're wearing a short skirt. And then she stood up and said, what is wrong with what I'm wearing? Confronted those guys. And, you know, they went back into their shells. So we are saying to women, when that happens to you, as a woman who's next, instead of joining these guys in terms of castigating another woman just because they are wearing something short according to who, we are saying this is the time that we need even to confront those guys. Because those guys, you know, they what gives them that courage is the fact that we actually don't stand up for ourselves. If every woman had actually taken that time to then say, if they are jeering at us, we jeer back at them, that would stop. So we are saying to women that that time of withdrawing into and allowing men to trample over us, it should stop. It should stop now. And we are saying, no, if they whistle at us, we whistle back at them. We are not talking about promoting lawlessness, but we are saying as women, we want to stand up for our rights. We want to stand up for what is good for us, and we cannot allow people to trample down on us.
Thank you very much, Ms. Tariro Makanga, the spokesperson of SAFAIDS, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum.
And finally, in sports news, Highlanders chief executive Ndumiso Kumete says the club will announce the name of a new coach on Tuesday.
The selection for the coach for Highlanders in 2015 has reached a point where the applicants have been whittled down to three. We are hoping that on Tuesday we can announce the substantive coach of the Highlanders football team.
Can you give us a name?
No. There's no way I can give you a name. I've just told you it has been whittled down to three persons. So the process is still going on, and the substantive coach of Highlanders Football Club will be announced on Tuesday.
That was Ndumiso Kumete, chief executive of Highlanders Football Club, speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. Premier Soccer League champions Dynamos yesterday named David Yoki Mandikora as the club's new coach.
Let's work together, cause we in
And now to recap today's top stories. Former Finance Minister Tendai Biti says foreign investors are willing to open businesses in Zimbabwe if the political situation improves. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gandhi. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very